That was The Pretenders with I'm a Mother. And this is Shebop, and I'm Yvette. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Before I move on, I have a special hello to little Peggy. Hi, Peggy. I think it's going to freak her out to hear her auntie's voice on the radio. She's adorable. So today I have Miss Katie, or Ms., I should say, Katie Cardles.
Whichever way you want, yeah.
We're going to be talking about comedy. Well, Katie's an actor. She's a lot of things. She's an actor and a stand-up comedian. But I think today we're going to go in the direction of talking about comedy and women in comedy and what's happening in the world of comedy since the Me Too movement kicked off. So, Katie, before we get to all that, I kind of want to tell the audience what your comedy is like.
Yes. Okay. Well, I got back into it just in 2018. I had 4 years off. But essentially, my stuff is, I'm still trying to find my voice, but yeah. When I got back last year, I was like, oh, okay, it's starting to really settle in. Mm. But I just talk about family. I talk about so many different things, the dating world. I talk about, beaver waxing. I talk about fucking hairy armpits. I talk about everything.
Yeah, to the uninitiated, beaver waxing is it's also known as is it a Brazilian wax?
Yeah,
or is it just waxing in that area?
Yeah, I talk about that. I talk about asshole tweezing.
Oh, wow.
I think you've been privy to that before, I bet.
Yes.
I think you were the first test audience for that, and I realised, oh, okay, that's got legs. I'll try that on stage.
Yeah. So your act is quite, it's a bit fearless, your act, isn't it?
This time I came back, I tried to talk about some things that perhaps make me feel a little bit more vulnerable.
Okay.
Some things growing up in a really Catholic prudish environment and having perhaps some sort of sexual anorexia from that. There's those sort of themes around that sort of thing. So I'm trying to get the guts to talk about some things that make me uncomfortable.
Mm.
But things like the waxing and stuff, for me, that's so easy to talk about. That doesn't... it's not hard.
Is it confronting for people in your audience? Do you notice if...
I don't think so. I think... And that's the thing as well. I'm just trying to be myself. Back when I first started stand-up, and I think a lot of people do this, they're like, I'm trying to be like a stand-up comedian and I'm not really being myself and I'm being kind of formulaic on stage. Well, I definitely was like that. And then I remember my sister just saying, because I could feel I hadn't cracked it. This was years ago. And I was like, I'm not feeling myself on stage. Like, what do you think it is? Like, I'm just feel really awkward and stiff on stage. And she was like, just be yourself, Katie. Like, just do you. Like, you know. And I'm a pretty warm person. So to get back to the question, so I'm a pretty warm, friendly person. So I'm just sort of mix that in with the my stage persona now. And I really like to have fun with the crowd and play with them and pay them out. But in a gentle way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you do, it's character driven. You've moved from the traditional sort of stand up to doing characters, right?
I did characters when I first, probably about the middle, second year of stand up. And then I was like, I'm a bit overdoing characters in stand up. I just be myself now on stage. But I'm doing the characters for like YouTube channels, Instagram stuff. Yeah, I'm going to actually be in a sketch show on Channel 31 in February, I found out yesterday.
Okay, so, awesome.
You know, SNL type sketches and stuff,
really?
Which is my sort of strong suit. That's what I out doing.
Improv?
It won't be. It's going to be written by a team of writers and I'm one of the ensemble cast that's going to be doing all the characters.
What's the name of the show? We need to plug that in when it's starting.
I think it's called Mainland Tonight.
Mainland Tonight.
Yeah,
okay.
It's on Channel 31 and it'll be starting in February 18, I do believe. The first Monday, either the 17th or the 18th of February. Yeah.
Okay, that's exciting.
Yeah, so it should be good.
Well, yeah, so to move on, I guess I want to talk about what is it like being a woman in the comedy world? I would imagine it's a very male-dominant, dominated area.
Yeah. Oh, some of the open mics can be rough. Mm. There's some, domestic violent jokes just flippantly thrown out there. There's rape jokes flippantly thrown about. There's
from other performers.
From. So I was just, because I'd forgotten what it was like. I hadn't done it for like 4 years and I got back into it. You know, late last year in 2018, and I was just like, shit, she's rough. Like, I could really, it brought it all back. I guess the main thing as well that irks me a little bit is just the lack of inclusion, I think, because it is a bit of a boys' club and it mm-hmm. can be kind of hard to crack that. And
do you think that would be a barrier for women getting into it?
Definitely, because when you're not included in, you know, like the other day I went with a friend, we went to see someone's gig and we weren't invited back to the green room out the back. And I remember my friend saying, man, it's a boys' club. And I was like, yeah, it so is, dude. Like, because I don't know if we were, it's just the normal thing. Like if you're a guy, you get to go back there and network and chat with everyone, make friends. But yeah, that would be, for me, that's the big one, is just supporting women, seeing them as friends, including them. There are a lot of beautiful men in the Melbourne stand-up scene that do that, and a lot of beautiful women that also include others. Women, we look out for each other, but it's still got a long way to go. Yeah.
Mm. Well, it's nice to hear that there is some support there.
Definitely.
Even if it's amongst female comics. So
definitely.
You're not really competitive with each other, it sounds like.
Exactly.
You're supporting each other.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There's been like a women's group that's formed within the comedy community. I'm not sure when that was formed because I only got back into it late last year. And we all look out for each other and support each other. And yeah, so it's good.
Do you think that femininity and the whole construction of it, do you think that is a barrier to comedy as well for women?
I mean, being
that, you know, there's so many rules
hugely in,
you know, to be a feminine woman. I probably should have a language warning on the top of this show, but, you know, there's certain things that we're not supposed to say and we're not supposed to act a certain way, whereas boys can or men can.
Exactly. And that's why you get that stereotype of, I hear a lot of people say, oh, I don't really like female stand-ups because they're just so smutty and dirty.
Oh, okay.
And you're like, and it's just because the men are just exactly the same, but it's just that they don't notice it because they're allowed to be. They're not judged for it. They're allowed to express their sexuality, they're allowed to express their primal nature.
Mm-hmm.
Women have to be, they're judged, they're kept in a box since when they're kids, so it just follows on through. But there's a really good little key, these New Zealand stand-up comics sort of bitching about that, about how they're always like, oh, women are so dirty, women stand-up comics are so dirty. And then one of them talks about, you know, some guy came up to her after the show and was like, oh, your material was a bit blue, means a bit dirty, you know.
Yes, of course.
And she was like, that was the guy that just talked about putting his dick on the table and stabbing it with a fork along it. And it's like, what the fuck, you know, come on now.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And if you mention a bit of what did you call it? Beaver waxing. You're gross.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Or smutty. What's smutty?
Yeah. Smutty, dirty women. Yeah. We're prevented from being whole beings, I think. Well, yeah.
Amy Schumer received a lot of criticism for that special. I think she called it, what did you call it? The leather special?
Yeah.
I think it was because Eddie Murphy always did his leather specials and his full leather gear. But she copped a lot. Look, I didn't necessarily think I don't necessarily think she's funny. She's not to my taste. And she did get what you'd call blue in it. But when you compare it to pretty much every other male comic.
Exactly.
I mean, Richard Pryor's act going way back in the day, anything Eddie Murphy's ever done.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were so harsh.
People are really hard on Amy Schumer. Amy. People are really hard on Lena Dunham because they're women. Women get judged.
Yeah, well, Lena cops it in another way also, doesn't she? She's accused of being a hypocrite because she's been honest about certain things that she did in her past.
Under the microscope.
And so now she can't criticise men at all.
Yeah, yeah,
it's like, oh, you're a hypocrite.
Yeah. I was given the best quote the other day. My sister Gracie told me, because she'd watched Judith Lucy's All Women or whatever the show is, and I really want to go back and watch all episodes. I've not seen any. Have you seen any?
No. I mean, I remember Judith from, like 90s. She was on some TV show in the 90s.
Love her.
I can't remember right now. Oh, but, yeah, so she's doing stand-up.
She's an idol of mine. Well, you know Judith Lucy, the stand-up?
Yeah.
Stand-up comic. Yeah, so she did a six-part show called Judith Lucy is All Woman. Anyway, and Amanda, what's the lead from Dresden Dolls? Amanda Palmer, I do believe that's her name. Forgive me if I've gotten her name wrong.
It's all right.
Anyway, and Amanda was jelly wrestling in the show, and Judith was like, isn't this, because the whole show is feminism, And Judith was like to Amanda, like, isn't this kind of setting feminism back a little bit? You doing jelly wrestling?
Okay. Like literally, well, in the
literally in a bikini and, you know, and she's like a rock star. She's okay. Like bad bitch, you know? And she was like, feminism is doing whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked that. It's like, it's dressing however the fuck you want to dress.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we've been judged for so long and fucking put in boxes for so long. So you can do whatever the fuck you want to do now. If you have your baps out, if you have your flaps out, fucking go for it. You have free reign now because you were judged for so many years. So do mm-hmm. what you want.
Mm. Yes. And that leads us to, well, actually, I'm going to play a track. And when we come back, I think we're going to talk about the Me Too movement and what's Perfect. Going on in the comedy world.
Yes.
Post, well, it's not really post Me Too movement. Me Too movement is still ongoing.
Still going. I'm really yes. excited to be part of it. I felt really out of it. You know, missed out the 70s. So
yeah, right.
This third wave, we're yes, right
so
in
I don't
it
think
it.
You were, and I don't think I've, we luckily or not, we weren't adults in the 70s. I don't know.
I was just
I preferred
a little
that or not.
Egg in my mum's ovum.
Were you?
At that time.
For a little while. For 9 months. We hope.
I was sitting there dormant waiting to come, you know.
Oh, well, we're gonna play, since you mentioned girls should be able to do whatever they want, I'm gonna play Bad Girls MIA.
Yes,
that film clip's crazy.
I love them. Oh, all the clothing, like the costume, and MIA is a bad bitch.
She sure is.
This song was a reaction to the women not being allowed to drive in anyway, we'll let it play.
Yes, in Saudi.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, I encourage everyone to watch the film clip for this song. Can't imagine what the production does.
Oh my God.
But yeah. Anyway, we'll let you listen to it. We'll be back. 10:14. This is She Bop, and you're with Yvette and Katie Castles, and we're talking about comedy and women in comedy. And now the Me Too movement and the accusation that comedy is dead because of the Me Too movement.
Yes.
So, wow. And look, when I think the first time I heard was a comedian, a stand-up comic, he used to be an MMA fighter, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a podcast, and I think the majority of the YouTube audience are male, statistically. That's right. Where it goes. So Joe Rogan's one of those people with a huge following.
Yes.
And he's quite sexist. He can say some good things every now and then.
He's pretty bro town.
Yeah, you know the guy? Mm. Yeah, and part of that sort of, what are they called, the MGTOW group, and there's a whole group of them.
Mm.
I think he was the first person that I heard say that comedy is dead. And a few other people have sort of disagreed with that, thank mm-hmm, God. Mm-hmm, males, mm-hmm. male comedians, like yeah. Bill Burr was yeah. one of them.
Okay.
I can't think of the other guys right now. But Hannah Gadsby's the name being thrown around a lot since her Nanette special.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't know, for our listeners, Hannah Gadsby, she's an Australian comedian, and she's been on the stand-up circuit, what, for a couple of decades?
Probably 10, 15 years, 20 yeah. years, I'm guessing, yeah.
Yeah, she's a gay woman, and I think most of her comedy, she says, was very self-deprecating.
Yes, before, and I saw her shows like
Oh, before the Nanette
ago,
one.
Before Nanette, yeah.
Oh, wow.
2 or 3 years ago, yeah.
What was it? Was it as she's described in Nanette where she, I guess, made fun of her sexuality or being a marginalised person?
I can't fully remember, but just the tones of – she was always so talented and so adorable and funny.
Mm.
She
is very adorable.
She is adorable. Cute, yeah. You can just tell she's such a kind person. Mm. I think that's why – people warm to her so much, and as well she's talented AF, but just from memory, yeah, just probably a little bit deprecating. I can't fully remember anything specifically, but I guess I probably didn't even notice it because we can all, it's the default thing. A lot of comics are pretty self-deprecating, so it was really good watching Nanette and her highlighting that and making me conscious of it as well.
Well, her quote, so in the Nanette special, which is on Netflix, she in the stand-up show retired from comedy. And her reason for retiring, she says that having done always self-deprecating humour.
Yep.
I'm retiring because to be self-deprecating when you're already someone who lives in the margins, it's not humility, it's humiliation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I completely understand why she can't, because I think, a lot of comedy is self-deprecating.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to make flaws and I don't know, the ugly parts of a person or the ugly parts of life more palatable, I suppose.
Totally. And, you know, the beautiful part of it, Yvette, is she was expecting, I think, because I saw an interview of her on a late night show post the show, and she was expecting Nanette, I think, to go down not as well as it did. And she's like, well, it went beautifully. I was being my authentic self sort of thing. And so now I've got to keep going. So she's going to stay in comedy now because it did so well.
Yes. And I've seen that she's being booked for all those award shows. So she's, you know, and she comes out on stage. She doesn't have a co-presenter. She's doing this on her own, but it's still the same rhetoric. She's definitely having a go at the men in the room.
Yes. Yes.
But it is funny.
She's really, really talented, yeah. And that show was a powerhouse, yeah.
Do you know one of her funny – well, this claim that the special wasn't funny. Look, it was very moving, especially when she gets towards the end and announces that she's retiring.
Yes.
But she also had some killer jokes in there, like this one. She goes, for a long time I knew more facts about unicorns than I did lesbians. There are no facts about unicorns. Like, that's a good line. How come no one's talking about that stuff?
Exactly.
Just, oh, she's not funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. I'd quite forgotten to come out to grandma. That one, I remember that line. That was so good.
What was that? She didn't come out to grandma.
Well, that was her original part. She was like, oh, because grandma was like, oh, have you had any boyfriends? And she was laughing how grandma was going plural with the boyfriends.
Okay.
And she was like, oh, I'd remembered I'd quite forgotten come out to grandma. And then she did a tie-in at the end. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong from memory, she referred to how she actually hadn't come out to her grandma because she was ashamed, so she hadn't forgotten. So it was a beautiful tie-in of how, you know,
I don't remember that part of the special.
Yeah.
It was two-hour-long special. It's really worth watching for people listening.
Everyone needs to watch it, yes.
Yeah. But women and being funny. So I wanted to ask you about, I don't know how long we've got here. We've got a couple of minutes. So Christopher Hitchens, a writer, he's dead. He died a couple of years ago of cancer, I think. I think he was a pretty genius writer. Well, in terms of, you know, he had a good turn of phrase. He was a really, really controversial writer. He wrote, I think, for Vanity Fair was his main gig.
Right.
But in 2007, he wrote an article that said women are not funny. Uh-huh. Women aren't funny because they don't have to be funny. And he relates that to, well, going back into, you know, men need comedy in order to impress women, whereas men are already impressed with women. You know, we have different rules of attraction. So as long as we're attractive, physically speaking, that's all men are really interested in.
Yeah.
They don't really want us to be funny. They don't need us to be funny.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
I just think, you know, if there are small cases where that's true, it's from conditioning. But my main thing is to everyone, just think about, reflect on the people in your life and think about the funny ones. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there'll be a few women pop up in there. And if there aren't, it means you need more women in your life. So that's the answer from me. I know so many funny ass people, and a lot of them happen to be women. So for me, it's not true. Yeah.
He did have a couple of people in this article that surprised me. Fran Lebowitz, who's a very funny woman.
Right.
She was saying that humour is largely aggressive and preemptive, and what's more male than that?
Yeah, well, I just think
A funny woman herself. I don't know if you're familiar with her work.
No, I'm not. I'll have to check her out.
Yeah, that's very different stuff from, you know, he mentioned how Lucille Ball was naturally funny because she – he made an exception for her. Her humour was so slapstick and, you know,
very
self-deprecating and just silly and goofy and sometimes a bit gross.
Yes, yes. Well, that's why I love the whole, you know, this generation, millennials, we're all starting to get into gender fluidity and opposing gender norms. And, yes, there is that pressure there, like we were saying earlier, to be polite as a woman, as a girl, to not step out of your box, don't spread your body out too far. And so that can...
Yeah,
that
don't take too much space up.
Exactly, and that can... Exactly, don't spread out. And that can perhaps make women in the history, throughout history, quash their funny side or their expressive side. But as far as women not being as funny, I just think it's just a whole lot of... BS.
I wonder too if men are intimidated by funny or threatened even by funny women.
I think they definitely can be. Yeah, some of them can be.
Mm. Because if comedy is when you know, when you're really going in on, say, I mean, how many male comics go in on talk about the sexes and talk about women in their act?
Yeah.
If women are to get up and we dissect the male of the species.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to wonder. And if we're funny about it as well, you got to wonder if that's a threat to men.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, that's it. It all depends on, I just put the mirror back on them. It's like, where do you derive your self-esteem from, mate? Like, just get it from a lot more than your humour. You know, you're a beautiful person. You don't need to be in competition.
No. You can all do your own thing.
See it.
I don't think we're going to get to talking about Louis C.K. and what's going on. I mean, it's still part of the same thing that, so he's back on the comedy circuit and a lot of people aren't happy about it, particularly women.
Mm-hmm,
and he hasn't commented on why he bowed out a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone who doesn't know, this is a stand-up comic, very, very successful. And he was accused of and admitted to asking women to sit in the room while he watched him masturbate. He admitted that he did it, kind of apologized, but now he's back doing his act.
That's it, yeah.
And I think you were reading before about some of the stuff in it. It's a little off.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, he only sort of came out about it late 2017 because of the Me Too movement and because there was so much, it was an open secret in the comedy world and people were pushing him to come forward about it. So it was like he was kind of pushed to do it. But yeah, I just think it's, I find it pretty sad that he hasn't commented on it now. I think the only redemption for him were if he were to just get up and really dive deep into all of that stuff and talk about that. It's just the big old elephant in the room now, and it's just...
Yeah, well, as a very skilled comedian, you would think that he could have actually made that part of his act.
Exactly.
I mean, you can make anything the subject of a joke, really. It just depends, well...
Exactly. And as... Sorry to interrupt.
No, you go. Yeah, you go.
Well, as a friend of mine, Kirsty Mack, said... she was like, well, the funniest thing now is he doesn't really get to rehearse his jokes now. He's just so in the spotlight and I'm not worried about him anyway. He's just he's not getting any specials or anything. He's just sort of putting his stuff on open mic nights at the moment and trialing stuff. But, he's got his karma now. So, and it'll just keep going. So jog on, mate.
Well, before we leave, so your show, Channel 31, it starts when? What's the date?
Yes, I think February 17th. Let me just get the calendar.
Where can people follow you?
Sure. Oh, yes. They can follow me on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I'm KT Castles.
Okay.
With
a C.
Yes, KT, Castles. Just the letter K, letter T, then Castles, like sand castles.
Yep.
Probably on Insta the best way to – and I'm going to put a link for my YouTube channel on my Insta as well over the coming months. So
yeah.
And the Channel 31 show starts on February 18th, Monday night, February 18th. So yeah.
Nice.
Mainland Tonight, it's called.
Mainland Tonight.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Congratulations on getting
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Yvette. Yeah.
And thanks for being here with me today.
It's been an absolute pleasure because you're an angel.
Aw, thanks. This feeling is mutual. So we're going to go out on a song. This is what do you like about this artist? The track.
I love this song. This song was playing when I was waitressing last year, and this song was playing in the kitchen. I was like, "What is that track?"
Mm.
And apparently, Yeji, she's from New York, and she's got a Korean background, and she is influenced by K-pop. And I do believe there's some masturbation references if you probably really listen in on this song, Make It Rain Girl.
Well, that's perfect. Yeah. This show is named after, it's called She Bop because of Cyndi Lauper's song, which is about masturbation.
There you are.
Yeah. Wow. Cool.
That's really serendipitous.
Maybe we can just make that a thing on this show. Just lots of songs about masturbation.
I'm done.
So the track is called Rain Girl?
Indeed. And the artist is Yeji.
Yeji. Cool. Well, thanks, Katie.
Thanks so much, Yvette.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And this is Rain Girl. So bye, everyone.
Bye.
Oh, smooth. Really Katie's already song. Dancing.
It's a really good song. Wait for it to drop. Drop soon.
What if it's just me? See everyone.